Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, November 27th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 19, the fourth paragraph that begins with, "Of necessity there will." We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Liz T., who will be reading the 12 steps, Dana P. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Kara L., Roz G., and Julie E. B. The share ID for Thursday, November 26th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 15,859. That's 15859. This morning's Friday, November 26th, or sorry, this morning's Friday, November 27th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is the share ID of 15,867, 15867. Our newcomer greeter for today is Wendy B., and Betsy H. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Liz T. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, good morning. This is Liz T. from Minnesota, recovered compulsive overeater, reading the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thanks for your service, and thanks for allowing me to do service.
Thank you, Liz T. Dana P., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Thank you, Kathleen. It's been an honor to serve. The 12 traditions, Dana P. here, compulsive overeater, 12 traditions. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Tradition 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Tradition 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsively overeating. Tradition 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Tradition 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to share to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much again for your service, and it's been an honor to serve in November past.
Thank you so much, Dana P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 19, the fourth paragraph that begins with, of necessity, there will. We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Kara L. If you could get us started, please.
Sure. Thank you, Kathleen. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Of necessity, there will have to be discussion of matters medical, psychiatric, social, and religious. We are aware that these matters are, from their very nature, controversial. Nothing would please us so much as to write a book which would contain no bias for contention or argument. We shall do our utmost to achieve that ideal. Most of us sense that a real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and a respect for their opinions are attitudes which make us more useful to others. Our very lives of ex-problem drinkers depend on our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. This is an amazing paragraph. Hi, my name is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. And some of the things, you know, as I read it today, jump out to me. And the line that really does is most of us sense the real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and respect for their opinions and attitudes, which make us more useful to others. And I was thinking about that as I was reading it, and I was thinking about it as I looked at it a little earlier today. And I think, you know, a lot of the times that offender, sick man's prayer really helps me with that. It helps me because the first thing is, you know, God, so-and-so is a sick person. How may I be of service or how may I be of help, right? And that really, in my mind, switches me over. It moves me out of self and into compassion. And it allows me to have compassion for the person. And then I'm asking God, you know, how may I serve? And the next part of that is, you know, God, keep me from getting angry. Thy will be done. And I, right there, I'm just saying, look, I'm not very good at this. I need your help. I need my higher power's help to do for me what I cannot do for myself, to help me have you know, real tolerance for other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and respect for their opinions, right? You know, and then saying, God, you know, show me how can I serve you and serve this person here? You know, because I recognize that my own ideas are not necessarily what are going to carry me through to the best service for others and to my higher power. And, you know, and I am human, so I'm going to say, God, keep me from getting angry because I need help with that. You know, and in that way, I could move through the world now, you know, looking instead of looking and taking everything in and judging it, how it affects me and self and making my own plans. I can really move it forward to, you know, God, how can I be of service here? And it takes way less energy that way. It really allows me to be in a much more centered, calm position so that I'm enjoying my time on this earth with people instead of finding conflict and arguing and really looking to be of service. So I'm so grateful for that today. I'm going to pass with that, and I look forward to hearing everybody else's take on this paragraph. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much, Kara L., for getting us started this morning. So we are on page 19, the fourth paragraph this morning, of Necessity, Their Will. And although we do value your experience, we ask excuse me, that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on Wednesday or Thursday and you'd like to share, I am ready to take your name.
Heather
Cynthia
W.
C. Blue. Okay, I heard somebody C, somebody J.
Cynthia C.
Cynthia
Christina
C. Christina J.
Sandy
Heather
K.
W.
Liz. Sandy. Okay, wait. Sandy W. I heard Heather. Heather, I think you actually came in first. Heather, what's the first initial of your last?
It's Heather W.
W. And who came in after Sandy W?
It was Sandy K.
Oh, Sandy K. Is there another W? Liz S.
Jessica G.
And Jessica G. Okay, let's stop right there. So glad you guys are all ready to jump on board this morning. Okay, so I have Heather W., Cynthia C., Christina J., Sandy K., Liz S., and Jessica G. So go ahead, please, Heather W.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. This is Heather W., recovered in Baltimore. I'm so grateful to be on the line. I haven't been able to come on since the summer. I'm a teacher, so once I start working again, it's hard to get on, but I'm off today, so grateful. And this is just such a powerful paragraph. I mean, it's really every paragraph in this book is. But two things stood out to me. First, that of necessity, there will have to be discussion of matters medical, psychiatric, social, and religious. And I take this as, you know, advice to me as a sponsor, right? Like, with my sponsees, sometimes we have to talk about things of medical nature, such as get a nutritionist, qualified professional to go over your food, because that's not what I am, you know. Sometimes we have to talk about psychiatric things. Maybe you should seek outside help, a counselor or a therapist, again, because that's not what I am. I'm just a sponsor and can just, you know, guide you through these 12 steps. There might be talk of matters religious, right? I might share how I use my faith in my 11th step. That doesn't mean I have to have the same faith, any sort of religious faith, anything like that. So these things that might be controversial, we can discuss as sponsors and sponsee in a very non-controversial way. You know, I always think if I'm discussing something like this, does it go with our work here in this book? Is it related 12 steps? If it is, great. Then we can discuss it. If not, there's no use for it. You know, because my work in this program is in these 12 steps. That's how I'll get recovered. And that took me to the second thing that I really liked. Over on page 20, when it says, our very life as ex-problem drinkers. That's really powerful. That's a promise to me, right? Because it says ex-problem drinkers, ex-compulsive eaters, right? Recovered compulsive eaters. That's why, you know, I will boldly say I'm a recovered compulsive eater, right? The food does not call to me. I live in that neutrality. You know, I can sit around the table on Thanksgiving, right, around things, tons of things that I don't eat, and it's okay. you know, I can even talk about it with my husband. I'm recovered, but I also say that humbly, right? I humbly say I'm recovered because I know if I'm not living in 10, 11, and 12, if I'm not doing this work, I can be an ex-compulsive eater. You know, I'll go back to being a current compulsive eater in that disease. So that was just what I wanted to share. Again, very grateful to be on the line. And, happy holidays, everyone.
Thank you so much, Heather W. And Cynthia C., you are up next, followed by Christina J. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. This is Cynthia C., recovered compulsive overeater from Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you so much, moderator, for your service today. And thank you to everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. I'm incredibly grateful to have this connection here. And this paragraph really, 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 really spoke to me today. And today it didn't speak to me so much in terms of program. I mean, it is program. It's all program. But in terms of just my family, you know, I've been praying and talking to my sponsor and working on the balance between service and program and service to my family. Something I've been praying to get guidance on and how to find that balance, because it's not necessarily so easy. And as a human being, I have limitations and can only give so much. I'm accepting, and that's just part of being human. So it's Thanksgiving, and I'm so grateful it was Thanksgiving that, you know, I also was at the table, and I eat my portions, I eat my food. There were tons of food at the table that were not my food, and it was really, really fine, and I was really, neutral about it, which was great. But because I'm not in the food, that when there are issues in my family, I have all my kids just came home from college, and one of my daughters has some challenges. She just has some emotional challenges, and when she's struggling, I am the easy target. I am just the target of her anger and her angst and her frustration, and she takes it out on me, and it feels abusive, and she's not able to control it, and so this line here, most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and respect for their opinions are attitudes which make us more useful to others. It just is perfect, you know. I cannot control it. It is not my job to control her. I didn't cause her mental illness, didn't cause her problems. I'm not the reason for it, but that guidance of praying, of saying the sick man's prayer, saying, you know, so many 12-step prayers, asking for guidance from my higher power and acceptance of other people. And our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend upon our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. You know, I can't cure or fix my daughter. I can't cure and fix sponsees. I can't cure and fix people in program. What I can do, and in my lessons in program, is I can share my experience, strength, and hope. I can lean into program. I can take care of myself by spending time every morning and every night with my 11th step, doing prayer and meditation and a self-inventory. I can reach out and I can do 10 steps so I can turn around my perspective. I can change my perspective. I can come out of myself.
Time, please.
Thank you so much. Just so incredibly grateful to be here today. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Cynthia C. Christina J., good morning. You are up, followed by Sandy K.
Good morning. Christina J. here from the state of Washington, recovered for today and continuing to recover emotionally and spiritually. A couple things stood out. One is just the very last line. Our very lives as ex-problem eaters depend upon the constant thought of others and how we might meet their needs. How am I going to meet their needs if I'm still stuck in my opinions and judgments and jealousies and fears and dishonesties? And how am I going to meet their needs if I'm still stuck in Christinaville? You know, my ego was so hugely insecure. I had a really insecure ego. And on the other side of that, I was very confident. Very confident of my abilities. It's really a funny place to paradox to be very insecure but very confident of your abilities. And so I had huge opinions and judgments about how the world ran and I just couldn't understand it when someone didn't understand the way I believed in God or the way I saw the world. I just didn't get it, you know. And my hair would rise up on my back and my gut would get tight when I felt there was an injustice. But today, in recovery, God is showing me that He is the Father of all, and this is my personal God, and He is our grand creator. He's the magic, the mystery, the love, and He loves us all. And He, in this paragraph, they are telling us that in order to be of service, we have to have those, we have to put on those glasses, those God glasses, and learn to get unselfish. And self-centeredness was a really huge one for me, very self-centered in all of my thought processes, to see through the eyes of God, to see that this man over here, who is a complete asshole, is struggling inside somewhere. Does that mean I have to be around him or hang about and try to coddle him and get him to like me? No. It just means that I can pray for that person and know that he's on a journey that God is directing. I am not directing that journey. I cannot change him. Only God can change him. And what is my job? To be an example of what God would have me do and be today, the third step prayer, that my difficulties may be a witness to others of what God can do. So, yeah, we have to talk about all these things with our sponsees. And how are we going to be of service? We have strong, solid opinions in these things that keep us from being open-minded and loving, that everyone, it's not up to me. God has everyone's back. That's what it's basically telling us. And us to get over ourselves, me to get over myself. I don't have time for argument or to get my stomach in knots. How am I going to be of service if I'm stuck in all that stuff? And this is what recovery does for you. I mean, this we're just in basically the third chapter here. There's a solution, and already we're talking about having an equanimity, an altruistic spirit. And this is what's coming for you if you're out there and you're just getting in or you're working towards working the steps. You're going to get to this place. You know, I could never think of not being jealous at this point in my recovery in this chapter. you know, it's just impossible. But through recovering and coming to these places inside myself, God is doing a work in me that I am unaware of on a daily basis. As long as I keep reaching out to others and being of service and keeping myself out of the way, I have a chance. Thank you for letting me share. Love you all. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Sandy K., you are up, followed by Liz S.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Sandy K. in Florida. I felt a need to discuss this paragraph. The first speaker actually said a lot what I was going to, but I have a few other things that I want to mention. When they were writing this book, they said, we shall do our utmost to achieve that ideal. They're not saying this is the ideal. They're doing their utmost. And like everyone else was saying, I need to bring that into my meetings. I need to bring that into my my life with other people that are not in OA. And one of the things that kept me away from OA was 5 years before I actually tried it again. I went to a meeting. It was the first meeting I ever went to. I knew nothing about OA or AA or anything. And I went to a very small meeting, and when I walked in, I wanted to walk in late so no one would notice me. And of course, there was a small meeting, so everyone saw me. They were talking about a particular HP that many people have. But that's all I heard was their talk about that HP. I never heard that my higher power of my understanding. And so I said, this is not for me because that definitely is not my higher power. And I walked out 5 years later and probably, you know, 40 pounds later. I walked back into the rooms and what I heard was just talking about higher power. And then when you sponsor or you have a sponsee, like I've had all these years, you know, many of both actually, it's accepting what their higher power is, whether it's hugging a tree, being Buddhist, Jesus, Mohammed, whatever it is, as long as it's working for them, then I'm not going to really talk about what my higher power is. It doesn't make any difference. If they ask me, I'll tell them. But so I'm like very conscious of being tolerant of other viewpoints also. Like when we were in face-to-face meetings, I don't think anybody in my group walked in with a political T-shirt, or even at the very most, someone's going to walk in with a college football T-shirt on. But, you know, it's staying away from those things. Those things have nothing to do with my recovery. But if someone does that, I just have to be tolerant because I think, you know what, they're not where I am. And maybe I'm not where they are. So tolerance is something I never really thought I needed because I thought I was tolerant. But the one,
time, please. You cut out there, Sandy. Okay. Liz T., are you ready to go? Followed by Jessica G.
Hi, it's Liz S. From New Hampshire.
Thanks, Liz.
This is a very important paragraph to me. I actually find it quite important for the medical, psychiatric, social, and religious aspects in this book. Without the medical and the psychiatric, to some extent, we wouldn't have Dr. Silkworth. And the social and religious, as well, and I think Bill handles that beautifully. I'm never offended by any of that input. What I've found with the people's shortcomings, viewpoints, and respect for their opinions is that I've come to understand that what makes me right. And that's what I have to understand. Why am I right? Why is my opinion the right one? Because I've gone through my whole life being right, and everyone else is wrong. And what I've learned is, why am I right? I just give an example of why am I right in deciding this candidate is better than the other one? Says who? And I think that's what I've come to understand here is I have a viewpoint, and someone else has a viewpoint, and I have to respect the difference and let it go. Otherwise, I can't be of service to anyone. And opinions, attitudes, I think all of those things, I must respect that we differ. And that's all. That's all it is. It's just a difference. And we are allowed to have a difference. The other person may think, I'm completely, you know, they don't agree with me. And, you know, if I can have that neutrality, then I can really be of service. But if I start judging people because they don't agree with me or have the same attitude or the same viewpoint, I cannot be of service to anybody. So what I really have to do is just think that I am simply one among many with attitudes and opinions, no better or worse than anyone else, and then I can be of maximum service to others, and I can really be out there helping others, and that what I think is simply what I think, no better, no worse. And that has worked a great deal for me since I've given up the, my opinion is better than yours, or I'm right, I'm right. No, I'm not right. I'm just another opinion among thousands. And it's really helped me a great deal. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz S. And Jessica G., you are up. And before we go ahead with you, Jessica G., just to remind everyone that we are on page 19, the fourth paragraph. And after Jessica, I'll be taking some more names. So go ahead, please, Jessica.
Good morning. My name is Jessica G., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Florida. And, this whole paragraph, I'm going to share probably something similar to what I'm hearing a lot of other sharers, but this whole paragraph to me really is screaming out the concept of love from my perspective. You know, the sentence, it says, most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and respect for their opinions are attitudes, which makes us more useful to others. And for me,
what I've been really seeing in myself is that I would, if someone is sharing with me, you know, a struggle that they've had or a viewpoint that they have of the world or of other people, you know, I fall into judgment of them, and I think, you know, I fall into pride because I put myself, oh, I've never done that before, or how could they be doing that, or they're such a bad person, and you know, that's just, that doesn't make me useful to them, that sort of mindset. And then if I have that mindset, you know, when they're sharing with me their struggles, they can feel that from me. You know, I may not say something, but you know, my face might turn a different way, or my comments might come up, or the tone in my voice might come across as unwelcoming, and then that kind of shuts down any hope of a relationship, or it shuts down any hope of, you know, a door out of their struggle, because they'll, you know, at least in my experience, it's like it closes the door to hope, you know, oh, I'm sharing my struggle with you and you're not listening, or you're not hearing me, and I need help. You know, they don't need judgment from me. They need someone to just listen and to show them, you know, to show them, point them back to this big book and say, there is a way out. And so for me, it's like, this is really reminding me of saying, I'm in no position to judge anybody. I'm in no position to say, you know, what you're struggling with is wrong. You know, it's for their higher power to show that to them. It is not my position. I'm in no position to be that person. I can guide them to show them where their higher power can help them, but I'm not their higher power. I'm not the one that's supposed to be saying what's right or wrong for them. And that, maintaining that sort of mindset and position, I believe, opens the door for them to find hope, because if their higher power doesn't hold that, then neither should I. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Jessica G. Okay, just a reminder, we are on page 19, the fourth paragraph, and if you haven't shared Wednesday or Thursday and you'd like to share on this paragraph, I'm ready for your name.
Sherry KB.
Irene B.
Sherry, I heard Sherry KB.
Irene B.
Mo H.
Mo H.
Marilyn K.
Carol G.
I heard you in that pile up, Carol, so thanks for saying your name again. Okay, I can take one more.
Nadia B.
Okay. Nadia B. Okay. Okay, well, let's stop there. So I have Sherry KB, Irene B, Mo H, Marilyn K, Carol J, and Nadia B. So good morning, Sherry KB.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you for your service, Kathleen O, and Team Friday, and happy day after Thanksgiving. Yay. Glad to be on the line. I'm just going to dive right in here. Necessity. I love that they use the word necessity right in the beginning of this, because this is all about step 12. This is whether you are being of service to someone else, or you are, you know, in your meetings, or just in general, but also as, to me, as a step guide. I really pay attention to these things because when I work with somebody, I'm very upfront about everything that I do with them, so they know exactly what they're getting themselves into, and that we are going to talk about the whole aspects of medical, psychiatric, social, and I want to say spiritual, because back in the day, they used religion a lot in this book, and I really think for today's standards, it's about the spiritual. So I have no problem talking about any of these things with the people that I work with. I'm very clear and upfront and very, love, patience, and tolerance is my code, and that means for here on out. And I just know that for me, when I'm talking, you know, with somebody I'm taking through, we talk about these things. And, you know, the basis that I work on that I've learned is that it's my job is to get them connected to a power greater than themselves, to rely on them and not on me. So when it comes to any discussion of anything, I'm usually asking them, well, what do you and your higher power think? You know, what is best for you? I also know that I'll give them ideas of things that are helpful. I refer them to a Sunday special edition. I refer because I can be supportive, but their reliance is not on me. And that I know that regardless of my viewpoint with theirs on certain aspects, I don't put out my beliefs on certain things at all. I never have. And I think that that's between them and their higher power on all aspects. And that, you know, I keep thinking about love, patience, and tolerance as my code, meaning their viewpoints, meaning anything respect to what they believe except for being in this book. I mean, I'm very clear. I love the precise directions in this book. And working with my higher power, I don't run into this problem. I have not run into this problem because, you know, it's not about me controlling them and telling them what to do. The directions are already here. And I'm thank God for God, and I pass things.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Irene B., you are up, followed by Mo H.
Good morning. This is Irene B., a very grateful recovered bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This paragraph makes me really, really scared, which is the reason I need to share. It says most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and a respect for their opinion and attitudes, which will make us more useful to others. So I used to think that I was very tolerant, very forgiving, that I only judged myself harshly. And I have come to learn through doing the steps and therapy and everything else that I do that I am very judgmental. And I used to think that I wasn't because I would only focus or I would only notice that either you're in or you're out, either you're perfect or you're imperfect, black and white. And if you held some traits that I highly valued, then, you know, I had all the love and tolerance. But if you had a trait that I disapproved of, there was nothing you could do to make it right. That's not love and tolerance. And when I discovered that, it hurt deeply because my self-esteem hinged on being a good person, and a good person doesn't do that. And that's judgment. Again, that's a black and white thinking. That's just not accurate. And then there is something else in here that really makes me scared. It says, our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend upon our constant thought of others and how we may meet their needs. That, oh my goodness, that passage used to really, really trigger me because my role in life was to do that, to be of service to others, and I was irrelevant and I did not matter. So when I saw that in the book, it made me rebel. Oh my gosh, it just made me cringe. It's like, I can't go back to that. And by the grace of God, I see the truth in it now. Because when I'm helping others, actually, it gives me a great sense of connection and satisfaction. And what I get out of it is so much more than what I give.
Time, please.
I mean, what I get, So it is a blessing to be able to be of service to others, because in reality, we're really being of service to ourselves. It's just a different way to get there. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene D. Mo H., good morning. You are up, followed by Marilyn K.
Yeah, good morning, Kathleen. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater here in Walnut Creek, California. And thank you for your service this month, Kathleen, always, and all those on the line. So I've been noticing as we've been reading some of these last paragraphs, how Bill is weaving, or Bill and the first 100 are weaving in and out service. Already he's imprinting in our minds the importance of giving to others and giving back. And I really didn't notice that when I first read this book. So this is really, you know, important to us. Our very lives as ex-problem drinkers, as compulsive overeaters, depend upon our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. And I will share with you a couple of stories about giving service and how it really helped me. About 2 years ago right now, I was suffering with a herniated disc, and it went on since July to November, so whatever that is, until I finally met up with a spine surgeon. And I remember making outreach calls and saying to people, how do you deal with pain and program? I was just, my heart goes out to those in chronic pain. And the answer I got back from a number of people, or the suggestion was to give service. And I just, you know, it was like question mark, give service? Well, how's that going to help me? Well, the interesting thing about making outreach calls and really not talking about what's going on with me, asking them what's going on with them, or how is their program, or what promise is coming true, or what step are they on, or how are they working with their sponsees, whatever it is that I need to ask. The pain didn't go away, but I wasn't focusing on it. There was much less focus on the pain. And so I found that to be very, very helpful. And, you know, I'm going through a different kind of pain right now, and I'm now reminding myself I need to give service to help me when I'm, you know, really deep down in the depths of my sorrows or in the depths of my grief, to reach out to another person because someone else may be experiencing the same thing, and I don't know. So I just am very thrilled that Bill is, like, weaving this service concept in here, because this is what's really important in our program. Step 12. So thank you, Kathleen. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Mo H. Marilyn K., you are up, followed by Carol J. Good morning, Marilyn.
Hello, I'm Marilyn K. from Beaverton, Oregon. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service and all the readers. I'm mostly sharing today because I need to just show up and take my space. I have lots of different thoughts reading through this. I'm usually a very concise person who doesn't talk for very long. But I was looking through this and talking about the tolerance. And I definitely need tolerance with the family members that I live with. They have their own views, which conflict sometimes with mine. And I am trying to become a more proficient at listening and asking God what I should say. The same as before I came on to share right now, I needed to sit and say, okay, God, what would you like me to share? And usually if I pause, as my sponsor tells me to do, and listen and take the time to really think through things, I can do God's will more. And I have found that I have a sponsee who definitely has some different views than I do, and I pray before she calls me, and then we pray when we first start the conversation, which has helped a lot for me to become a better listener and be more loving to her. And so that's what I'm trying to work on as far as reaching out to others. It's kind of a balance as far as I'm concerned. I have been a caregiver all my life. I'm a caregiver for my husband who has Parkinson's, and he has advanced Parkinson's. And so I feel like sometimes, you know, when do I get it? When can I take care of my needs? But I actually find that if I do the same thing as pause and take, I can take care of myself by reaching out to God and let my higher power take care of me. So thank you to each person being here, and blessings to each of you. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Marilyn Kay. And Carol J., you're up, followed by Nadia. And if you both want to take about 2 minutes, I think we can fit everyone in.
Okay, thank you. This is Carol G. in the Chicago area. I was very taken with how this paragraph is written. It's written in such a gentle and loving way, saying we're aware that these are very controversial subjects. Nothing has saved us so much as to write a book which would have no basis for contention or argument. So they're actually writing about what they are saying to do. And I just feel like tolerance of other people's viewpoints, I mean, that is just so appropriate for the times that we live in right now. Like, to imagine if everybody in the world was in a 12-step program. But I can only think about myself and my immediate surroundings, what I can do my part. And I do have to say, my husband, who was never political before, all of a sudden became political, and we're on the opposite sides of the fence. So I have many opportunities not to judge. And it's a really great learning experience. So it's pretty amazing that I could even be grateful for that. And I just want to say that it's pretty easy for me to have a connection with my higher power when I'm by myself. I'm an artist, so I sit there and I commiserate or have that constant conversation with my higher power when I'm cleaning the house or doing my artwork or this or that. But when it comes to being with other people, and if they just happen to have a different worldview than I do, I have to stop in the middle sometimes and just ask God to help me to satisfy everything I think I know about anything. And it's so beautiful when that tension, that forceful energy just kind of goes, and I can see the person. I don't just see their viewpoint. So this is something that I know I have to do more of, and I'm asking God to help me to get out of myself more and to want to give to other people. And the more I get from my higher power, the more filled up I get. I don't have such a scarcity or lack mentality. And then I feel that I can get out of myself. I can reach out to others. So I'm just really grateful, and I want to say to those people who aren't sharing that it is scary to share. But once you get on this line, it's like helps me to get closer to my own truth and my own higher power. So it's doing service, but it's also helping us. So thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you, Carol G. And Nadia B., you want to take a couple minutes?
Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. Nadia B., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. I'm really grateful for this paragraph. You know, I wish I could say it was pretty obvious and natural to me, this way of thinking my whole life. I live life on thinking about me, and I wasn't even aware of it. You know, it did not work for me. I got to the point where the thoughts I had were, you know, what's the point? I don't want to live anymore. Life is painful and then we die. So what's the point or the purpose of this? I want it out of this life. And that's what life of compulsive overeater is like. You know, when you live to eat, there is no purpose. But then there is a point, and, you know, I'm really grateful today that I have a program that helps with thinking. And the blockages
were removed through the program. So today, you know, this thinking is more natural than ever for me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia B. Sorry that was so short, but thank you for your share. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. And a very special thanks to Team Friday for this month of November. Really appreciate your doing service. Just a shout out Liz T, Dana P, Kara L, Roz G, Julie E B, Wendy B, Betsy H, Nadia B. Thank you so much for your service this month. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Roz G., would you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, I would be happy to do that. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then,